Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Nelson from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the Thursday evening, August 5th newsletter. And honestly, no reason to overanalyze the charts tonight because we have the all-important jobs data coming out an hour before the market opens tomorrow. And how the market reacts to that data is really what's going to determine how things are going to unfold. I'll provide a couple of scenarios, go through what I'm seeing technically, but it's all about jobs, jobs, and jobs, and the market's reaction to it over not only tomorrow, the coming couple of days. So, with that said, let's look and do a quick examination of the charts, and then I'm going to go over some setups. The predominant number are long side setups at this stage, and if the market trends to the upside, they'll be valid. I do have a couple of short setups, but honestly, with the market being in an uptrend, we don't have a lot of great short setups at this time. Okay, the first chart I'm showing here, chart number one, shows the S&P 30-minute with its Bollinger Bands. As you can see, we've really gone laterally here over the past two or three trading sessions, consolidating. Energy is building. The Bollinger Bands are pinching together. This typically precedes a larger move. The other interesting item on this chart that may have some relevance is the slow stochastic 60. As you can see, we've been above the 80 area now, dating back to August 2nd. A break and hold below the 80 area would be a sell signal off of this chart. But again, we can get a lot of volatility quickly off of the number, especially if we get a gap and potential refill, etc. So be mindful of that when trading tomorrow. Chart 2, simple chart that Matt showed last night. I showed the night before. Bollinger Bands with all the indexes. It remains above the 20-day moving average in an uptrend for this for the time being. Chart 3. Daily view of the S&P showing a couple things. First of all, let's talk about the positive aspects of what's going on here. We see the S&P is consolidating above the 200-day moving average. Has not given that back immediately. That's a positive. We also have on this chart a positive 2050 exponential moving average bullish cross. That's constructive. So we've got a bullish configuration on the moving averages. We've got price above all of the moving averages. That's constructive. We've yet to see any divergence on our MACD, still pointing upward. Yes, we do have some slight histogram divergence, but that's it. Stochastics are overbought, but they can embed in an overbought position as we saw back in the February-March time frame. So I've drawn in a little trend line here on the stochastics. A break below that area would be a warning sign that we could be reversing to the downside. Clearly, the support here is the rising trend line and the moving averages underneath. The 1100 area is important support. The negatives, we see a bearish pattern in place that can be negated with a strong push-up, but currently we have a rising wedge pattern and the advance has been occurring on lower volume. Those are bearish factors. However, we have to consider that August is notoriously a slow month as many traders are away on vacation, so we'll see and we'll simply adapt to the message of the market. So that's a summary of the daily chart. Chart 4, and this is something that I just want to plant in the back of people's minds. It's far too early to say anything definitive yet. But if this market were to resolve to the upside here or after pulling back and maybe forming a more complex right shoulder, there is a potential inverse head and shoulders pattern on this S&P daily that ultimately would measure up towards the 1240-1250 area. Again, a breakdown, breaking below our previous lows. First of all, the 1090 area and then back below this 1060 area. That starts to weaken the case of any inverse head and shoulders. But For those who are pigeonholed into being a perma-bear, just keep this in the back of your mind. Should the market resolve to the upside in the coming days, or perhaps after a pullback back towards the, let's say, 1055, 1070 area to reset a right shoulder? Just keep that in the back of your mind. For now, it's not that material. And the only thing that I'll point out additionally on this chart is here, too, we've got a bullish configuration of the moving averages with the 13 above the 34-day EMA, both above the 50. I talked about this back in the July time frame and again at the end of July. So for now, all of our moving averages are providing support. Chart 5 shows a rising channel, and within the rising channel, a rising wedge on the S&P. You can see the multiple points of negative divergence. We've got triple negative divergence in place on the RSI and MACD. But I remember a situation back in 2009 where we had this and we resolved to the upside. So divergence in and of itself is not a sell signal. It's a potential warning for a potential reversal, or it's a warning for a potential reversal. So let's keep that in mind. We need to see breaking below our key pivot support areas and start trending down, making lower lows and lower highs to initiate a reversal. Now, in terms of other things on this chart, what I want to look at is the MACD histogram. The histogram is currently below zero, but it's now beginning to turn up. If the histogram turns back above zero, that would be also an indication potentially that this sideways consolidation correction is over. Should it continue to move downward, then we have to look for at least some type of pullback, initially potentially down towards the rising trend line here on the S&P. All of the indexes differ somewhat at this stage. So for now, in summary, we've got a bearish pattern with negative divergence in place on the S&P, but we've got no downside movement as of yet. We've had really 3 days of consolidation at this stage, working off this oversold, or working off some of our overbought readings. And pardon me, there was a phone ringing in the background. Sorry, I went to grab that phone after it kept ringing. I apologize. Okay, so back to the 60-minute chart. We see a rising bearish wedge in place with some negative divergence, but as of yet, we've yet to see any type of reaction out of this divergence to the downside. So we'll keep an open mind. We're cognizant of what's taking place here, and we'll react accordingly to how the traders, how the market makers react to the jobs data tomorrow. Chart 6 shows the various counts. I've shown this several times, and I will review this. The bullish count is that we've got a 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. This little 2 in black may not be complete. It may allow for a little further pull down, but the bullish count, the extreme bullish count, would have us only with a little minor consolidation here, at most a little further pullback that may be complete, and then we would bust to the upside out of this wedge and really create a rising channel here, taking us up most likely well above the 1150 area towards the 1170 area in wave 3 and then higher over time. However, the alternative is, and there are two, that this is simply a leading diagonal, wave 1 of wave 3, which will then have a sharp retrace back down, say, 50% to 62%, which would take us back to around, say, 1070 to 1056 area. And then we would turn around and go back up. That would support additional work on the right shoulder. The bearish count, and I've shown this many times, is that this is an ending diagonal, wave C of 2, and that we would not only sell off, we would continue to sell off to the downside. So under the ending diagonal or leading diagonal scenario, we can sell off here, and it could be a 50% or more correction. Under the ending diagonal, we'll continue lower. Please be cognizant that under the diagonal, we could have a move up, a false breakout of the wedge, and a reversal down. So the red lines show the potential on the leading diagonal or ending diagonal, whereas the blue line shows the bullish scenario over time. So again, we'll just see how things unfold and be cognizant that right now the market is pretty much range-bound between 1130 and 1100. We have to be cognizant of a little false move over 1130 and a quick reversal, but if a breakout above that area is supported by internals, it maintains that area, then it's likely to squeeze these shorts further to much higher levels than they would expect. So getting really above this 1140 area, which is the 618 retracement, starts putting a lot of question marks into the bears, at least for the short term. In terms of sentiment, why I'm on this, sentiment has been ratcheting up a little further to the bullish side, but not overwhelmingly so on a lot of the sentiment surveys. So there is still fuel there if there is enough power to squeeze them. Again, I just keep an open mind, and I will react to the message of the market during the trading session. Chart 7 is another view of the S&P, clean look of the same type of pattern on the 30-minute chart. Here I talk about the MACD recycling back to the zero area, and then I also talk about the full stochastics over 80 as something to watch on the 30-minute chart. 15-minute chart clearly shows just the consolidation that's been going on here over the past few trading days, and that's evident with the Bollinger Bands pinching together. Now let's take a quick glance at the Russell. While the S&P today was just down fractional or a point and a half, the Russell actually fell nearly 8 points. You can see that the small caps, and I talked about this on Tuesday night, have been lagging this advance, whereas the S&P made a higher high over the past couple of days. The Russell and the NASDAQ has not done so. Their highs occurred back in July. However, they haven't completely rolled over. They've gone laterally. And the question now is, will they drag the market, the other indexes, down, or are they going to play catch-up here in the coming days? We shall soon see. In terms of the Russell, and this is a looser type index, you can see that the little rising trend line was breached today. I've drawn in a parallel line here as a potential channel area, and then we've got the highs to low type support line here in dashed black that served to create a bounce last time. So again, we'll see how things unfold. Currently, the Russell and the NASDAQ, the smaller caps, have been lagging overall the past few weeks on this advance. Chart 10, another view of the Russell, 30-minute chart giving us a clear look. So I've got two fib areas here in case we start to pull back. One fib reflects the entire rally off of early July. The other fib reflects the recent rally off of the mid-July low. So be aware of those differences. Okay, moving on to a couple of other charts. We've got the VXX. I showed this Tuesday night. Matt alluded to it. We've got a little falling wedge pattern here. We've got positive divergence in place. And this is a good instrument to keep an eye on because volatility tends to lead price. So normally if the market's going to sell off sharply, this is going to kick into action and begin moving. Now you can see that we've had a couple of bounces along the way, but we've had no break of our downtrend line overhead. So you can see the resistance areas, something to keep an eye on, as well as the 60-period stochastics down below breaking above 20. So again, something to keep an eye on going forward, and this is something that if you want to hedge off your positions, this is a candidate to do so. If you want to looking for an instrument to buy in terms of a quick reaction potential trade to a sell-off, this is an instrument to buy. Breaking out of the wedge would allow for a deeper upside move on this particular instrument. And then finally, before I get to trade ideas, I want to show and discuss the Euro shares. You can see the these are the ultra short Euro. So they trade inverse to the Euro. Basically, they've been mimicking the U.S. dollar of late. And you can see that on the daily time frame, the Euro short shares have been in a solid downtrend, while the Euro has been uptrending, coming down towards the 200-day moving average here. We do see some slight positive divergence on the histogram. We do have an oversold RSI. No positive divergence yet on the regular MACD. And for now, it's in a solid downtrend below its moving averages, but we're going to keep an eye on this also as a market barometer. In terms of shorter term, we've got a 60-minute chart on the EUO that shows a bullish falling wedge with some positive divergence in place. It may need another little move down in here, but this breaking to the upside is likely to provide a little trade at least. And you never know on these currencies. They don't have to bottom with positive divergence, but it's usually preferred. So these, both the EUO and the VXX, are shorter-term trading instruments that typically will trade against the direction of the market. So those are something you could consider as short candidates or hedging candidates off of some of your long side setups. Now below I've got a bunch of long setups and a couple short setups. Let me go over them briefly. AMT, clear upside breakout around the 47.10, 47.25 area. I view this as more of a shorter term high consolidation trade. Chart 16, nice little bottoming cup and handle, inverse head and shoulder pattern. CGA, this too happens to be in the agricultural area. It's lagging some of the other plays, but a break through the 1140 area on increased volume opens up the door for a move up towards the 200-day moving average. Nice setup. The more it consolidates, lets the moving averages catch up. As you can see, we've got a bullish 2050 cross here. As the moving averages catch up to price, get underneath it, it literally acts as a springboard or trampoline in a bullish condition and shoots them through resistance. RECN, another bottoming pattern, little inverse type head and shoulders pattern. It's broken its steep downtrend line. What you see happen a lot of times in wedges or break of trend lines is they morph into inverse head and shoulders patterns. And that's appears to be what's happening here. A breakthrough the 1330 area on volume should open up the door, first of all, to a test of the 50-day moving average overhead around 1375. And since that hasn't been tested in a while, that's likely to be decent resistance on the initial touch, and it's coming down at a fairly steep angle. So be aware of that. Initially, it's going to have to deal with that. If it's able to clear that, then the 14 area is the next resistance, and onwards and upwards from there. We'll take it one step at a time. SUSQ is in the banking area. Whether or not this is going to resolve to the downside after consolidating or to the upside remains to be seen. But for now, the moving averages are acting as support. So we'll view it as a long side setup. This would be a short side setup breaking down if you want to be aggressive through a little rising trend line here. GHL here too is another little cup and handle type pattern with resistance around 70.4. I don't know how 70.7 got in there. That was a typo. 70.4 is the horizontal resistance area. Again, we want to see strong volume coming through here. And please realize, okay, if we're going to get a false breakout of the wedge, we could get some breakouts and reversals. So make sure that you have a plan in place in case we have a false breakout with those rising wedge patterns and then a quick reversal. HBI, 2615 area, that would break the horizontal resistance and take us above the 50-day moving average. TUP above, let's say, 4105 has a gap to fill. CMED. I'm going to talk about a couple other setups besides just simple horizontal breakouts. CMED had a nice big candle up and has been forming a bull flag off of that candle. This still looks like a bullish setup. Traders could start taking a position into this handle with a stop below some of the moving averages down below. So any type of pullback on lighter volume, which is what we're seeing, would be an objective area or an objective entry with a pop then back above the 1190 area should test up around the 12.5 area. POL, similar situation here where we've got a cup and it looks like a handle forming. We've got lighter volume so far on the consolidation. This one is well ahead of its moving averages and may need to handle out for a while. That would be ideal. As you can see, the 20-day moving average is coming up, the 50. If you can get these moving averages up underneath price, that typically provides the springboard to launch them. So this may take some time. It may even have to pull back and maybe form an inverse head and shoulders pattern, but it's something to watch in case it just wants to go from here. You never know on these bull flag type things when they're ready to kick into gear. We've seen 3 consolidation days. Once we get to 3, you've got to be on alert. It could happen at any time, or it could take a week or two to transpire. Then we've got Rhino. This was a setup I showed a while ago. Quite a while ago I was looking back, and then Matt posted this on the blog today after I told him about it. I saw Rhino take a big move on a 5-minute chart. Here again, this is a volatile stock. I guess it moved up on a takeover rumor. But this is a thinly traded, quite volatile stock, and only, I think, for people who can monitor it throughout the day is it appropriate. Again, I would say back over this 1555 area would be a positive. Someone may take it on a pullback, however they want to trade it, but it still looks to be a bullish setup here on the volume that came into it today. In terms of a couple of short setups, Visa, and by the way, I don't show MasterCard on here, but that too acts heavy. These two stocks, Visa and MasterCard, are acting heavy. They are not responding with the market. They're acting heavy, and these are something that I would keep on the radar screen or send an alert to for if the market decides to break to the downside. I think these are likely candidates to move lower. And then MANH, Manhattan Associates, this stock too has been very heavy. They reported earnings. Earnings are out of the way. Supposedly they beat estimates. I talked about it back on the 20th. It moved up after that big down candle into its moving averages, has been pulling back. It does have support underneath of its 200-day moving average. So again, shorting's more of an art than a science, but I would say breaking this 26 area, which is the support area with the 200-day moving average, opens up the door for a move to the downside, initially probably down towards the 25 area, and then if that's lost, all the way down towards the 21 area. So again, it may find support here, bounce off of it, break to the upside. But for now, it's got a bearish configuration with the 20 below the 50-day moving average, and it hasn't been able to attract any buyers off of its earnings. So a couple of short side setups, not a lot, and we'll see how things transpire tomorrow. Granted, we will likely get a gap one way or the other. So make sure that if you have alert set or something, that you're not chasing stocks willy-nilly. Make sure they're appropriate setups. Even if they gap up, look at a 15-minute rule, or focus in on some that may have not gone or gapped up initially. It's tough when you get gaps, but we have to deal with the news that's coming out. One simple way to play it is to trade the market breaking above the 1130 area or back below the... let me look. I'll give you an exact point on the SPY. Breaking below, let's say, 112.25, the 50 EMA on the 30-minute chart, I think that opens up a short to the downside, unless it's a quick little spike below there. So above the 113 area or below 112.25 for a couple of candles, I would favor those directions for the short-term trading. So that's what I would look at in terms of trading the S&P if you're inclined to do so tomorrow. Okay, so overall, we've reviewed. Keep an open mind. The market can go either direction. Yes, we've got some bearish circumstances shown there, but we've also got some bullish circumstances. So again, just keep an open mind and respect the message of the market. If it decides that, hey, it wants to power up, respect it. If it decides it wants to reverse down, respect it. Simple as that. We'll analyze it again on the weekend. Take care and have a great night.